We've heard First Take.
I mean, it's just pathetic, but it's predictable.
We've heard Your Take.
You have to take care of the people and the athletes. Consider them more important than the money.
Now it's time for Jason's Take, exclusively on the First Take Your Take podcast.
It's the First Take Your Take podcast, and as we now do every single day, we start First Take Your Take. You'll get to some of the First Take. You'll get to some of the Your Take, but we start with my take. And I want to start by talking about the NBA. Look, it's easy to turn around and credit the NBA for being ahead of the curve on so many things. They've done it more often than not. And it's also easy to turn around and discredit the NCAA for being behind. They've been that way more often than not. But sometimes we let our preconceived notions decide what we should think about things that are right in front of us. Yes, the NCAA took a long time to cancel March Madness. At the end of the day, who cares? They got it canceled. They didn't put anybody at risk. And they took their time examining all the facts that they possibly had in front of them. Conversely, the NBA, a league I've spent a lot of time crediting, turned around and they were the first to cancel, or I should say suspend, their league. As a result, everybody looks at them as the trendsetter. Yet again, the NBA is ahead of the curve. They're not. They weren't. And you're buying into a lie. Let's acknowledge what really happened. Rudy Gobert failed a test that showed that he had the coronavirus. Rudy Gobert, who wanted to play in that game that night. Rudy Gobert, who was a late scratch to play for the Jazz. Play for the Jazz in a packed arena. Why was the arena packed? Because the NBA was ready to go on with the game. The NBA, the Utah Jazz, knew that Rudy Gobert had taken a test, right? They didn't cancel it. They knew that there was a possibility. They didn't cancel the league. They waited until he failed the test, and then they had to react. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Sometimes it's better to be unlucky than good. In this case, the NBA was unlucky. A star player failed a coronavirus test. And in that sense, though, it made them good. They reacted to that. We're making it sound like the NBA was proactive. They put player health in front of dollars being earned. They put the sake of the community in front of the sake of business. And that's trash. The NBA did the same thing everybody else has done. They looked at the possibility of playing in front of empty arenas. They looked at the possibility of trying to maybe postpone things. But ultimately, what did they do? They let that arena get full. Not only that arena, every other arena. Remember what you felt that night when you were watching a live game as the reports were out there that the league was going to suspend the season. While you were watching a game, they still let people go in at risk. And we're crediting them? Look, I understand that the NBA is usually ahead of the curve, and I understand they were the first domino to fall. I also understand that every other major professional sport has sort of followed suit. But do you really believe that the NHL wouldn't have done the same thing if it had been one of their players that failed a test? Do you really believe that golf wouldn't have done the same thing if it was Tiger that, God forbid, failed a test? Do you really believe NASCAR wouldn't have done the same thing? No. The NBA did the exact same thing every other league would do. And if the NCAA had the same exact situation, a packed arena, a game about to tip off, the imagery of a team doctor running out to stop it, would we credit the NCAA or would we say, oh my God, how did the NCAA even let their players get into that position? It's a reminder, as always, we're holding different leagues and different commissioners to different standards, not based on what they're doing today, but based on what they've done in the past. And that's a fine reality that we have to live in. But I, for one, will not be part of sending Adam Silver of the NBA roses anytime soon, because what they were doing is the same thing everybody else was doing. They were trying to get that money, even if it meant putting you and their players at risk. They didn't do what they wanted to do. They do what they had to do. And doing what you have to do in a moment of crisis is not something I'm going to commend to the same level everybody else has. That's my take. Now, here's First Take, Your Take, the podcast. I'll admit, heartstrings pulled here. I got one VCR tape, one VHS tape in my entire house. It says 103-73 UNLV over Duke. I might just go back and watch the run of Rebels beat Duke, get a little college basketball action. Just rewatch it over and over and over again. You guys can keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can tell us. Donnie in Florida, you're going to go back and rewatch one thing for a little escapism. What's it going to be this weekend?
Hey, Jason, how you doing, man?
Great, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for taking my call, man, and keep doing the tremendous job that you do.
Thank you very much. What are you rewatching?
So as I'm still lying here in the fetal position in my man cave, sucking my thumb with my original pair of Depends on due to the cancellation of the NCAA tournament, I'm going to be rewatching the Kentucky versus Florida game from last Saturday.
Oh, that's a recent one. Okay.
Yes, sir. You know, to see Coach Cal nearly getting ejected and the Wildcats not being able to guard any of the Gators players in the first half to really turning it on in the second. You know, just a great job by John to adjust the coaching scheme along with tremendous play by Nick Richards. And, oh, man, how about that final tip by E.J. Montgomery?
Oh, I love this. See, that's what I'm talking about. You find that one moment, you rewatch it, you relive it, you get a little bit, action here. B-Dub says, with no March Madness this year, I'm going to go back and rewatch the 2012 Final Four. Sometimes I forget how dominant that UK team and AD could be. Love that one. And Skulltube says, I'll be watching week three of the 2009 season, Favre to Greg Lewis. Also, as pointed out by True Speaker, there's a live UFC event coming up, so you can catch that Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Dylan in Chicago, you got one thing you're going to rewatch for a little escapism. What's it going to be?
Hey, I think I want to watch the 2016 World Series Championships, specifically Game 7, man. Go Cubbies.
See, yeah, I love this call. I don't know, though. You know, I said one event, so I'm limiting it to one game. When you're talking about a championship thing, maybe you just rewatch the whole run. I mean, if you can, in today's YouTube world, if you can find the whole run. By the way, keep ESPN on your TV to keep you updated while you watch YouTube on a side laptop, right? We all know that. But in today's YouTube world, it feels like you can watch the entire run. We're having this conversation because, yet again, more postponements and cancellations continue to come down the pipeline again. We know that the Masters has been postponed. We don't know when it will be made up. We do know that the Masters has been postponed. A couple of NASCAR races we told you yesterday would be run in front of no one have now also been postponed. We're seeing the word postponed a lot right now. It hasn't gone to full cancellations, unlike the NCAA tournament, but we're at least seeing postponement as we try and figure out what all of that means moving forward. The Boston Marathon also postponed. We do know that's been postponed until specifically September 14th. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance can just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. So I want to get some thoughts on this because I will admit the postponement of the Masters surprised me a little bit. So former world number one and 2001 Open champion David Duval joins us now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. David, we appreciate your time. What was your reaction to the Masters postponement?
You know, I don't know if I had, if it was surprise or if I wasn't surprised. I understand why they did it so quickly after the PGA Tour canceled, you know, players, and then the following 3 weeks, you know, because the Masters is, like the Players and like the other major championships, an absolutely global event with thousands of media from around the world coming, and they have to make plans. And so I understand why they did it so quickly. But I thought it would be like another week or so out probably.
If I had, from a player standpoint, if I'd given you the choice between postponement of all of these PGA events or playing in front of no one, which would be better?
Well, I think in general, the postponement, or whatever you want to call it, is the best option because, you know, regardless, you are traveling and flying and you're all around the different areas of the country. You might have people coming from outside the USA to play. So it's the exposure. And I think that's kind of what really all the health officials are talking about. You know, it's the exposure. If you don't have to travel, you know, then you really don't need to right now because it's the exposing from different areas, I think, seems to be a big of the issue that they're trying to get ahead of it and kind of squash it. So I understand, you know, some of what I've heard and read that when the warm comes, it should help a great deal. But, you know, cancel them, I understand. As a player, it is kind of awkward playing without fans. I mean, that's part of it, you know. But the thing is, regardless of what you do, there's not really a right answer right now. This is something very new to everybody, and people are trying to just figure it out.
David, how much time window does golf have where they can stay in postponement mode and not go to cancellation mode?
Well, right now, I guess, you know, the PGA Tour has a month because they canceled the Players, they've canceled the next 3 weeks, and then the Masters has been postponed. So that's a month at least. you know, and I think that this is a situation where the commissioners of all the sports are probably going to be in talks with the health organizations around this country, you know, the White House, the Congress, all the different states, local governments about what is going on. And I think that you got to place some trust in a leadership across the board of sports in this country to, you know, try to give us all an idea of what to do, what's the best thing to do to curb the spread of this.
David, we really appreciate your time and your insights. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
Yeah, it's such an interesting one thing he said there is that we're looking at commissioners of all sports because we've acknowledged the fact that the NBA was the first domino to fall when it came to suspending, right? We've acknowledged that, how everybody felt like they sort of had to follow suit. So is there also going to have to be some mass reclamation move towards getting back towards playing? I don't know the answer to that. In the meantime, this also has an effect on the NFL's plans. Even though the NFL isn't playing games right now, this has a huge effect on the NFL's plans. Dan Graziano joined First Take. He joined Max and Stephen A. to talk specifically about how coronavirus is impacting the NFL.
What I'm interested in discussing with you, Dan, is this whole collective bargaining negotiation. To me, that's the big deal. I heard what happened Monday when the Players Association met with one another. I heard that was not a good day for Demoris Smith at all. Russell Okung took over. Richard Sherman took over. I forgot who's the brother that used to play for the Pittsburgh. The guy that was in the twin brother. Pouncey, that's it. I'm sorry. I had brain locked there. Going off about it. I heard about that. My question to you is this. In light of this coronavirus and the effect that it's going to have economically on the leagues, does it behoove the players to take that into consideration in terms of deciding whether or not this is a deal they should accept or not, particularly when you have players saying we got to be pragmatic here and recognize the fact that even though this offer isn't great, it might be the best offer we get. Your thoughts about all of that?
I think it does behoove them to do it. And I think that point was made yesterday. Thomas Morstead, the Saints punter, had a tweet about this, talking about the uncertain economic times and what may be coming and the ability to lock in certainty over the next 10 years. It actually be 11 years because it would count this year and then 10 more. Mm-hmm. So that's the argument in favor. And Demoris Smith and Eric Winston, the outgoing union president, have been using that in their discussions with the players that, hey, the economy won't always be as robust as it's been the last couple. If it does take a downturn, we might not be able to secure as good a deal. You may not like this deal, but it may be better than what's available to you in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. So that's been the argument in favor of the deal for a while. And obviously the reality of what's gone on here the last couple of days really kind of strengthened that point of view.
This also seems to strengthen the NFL, which is already the strongest domestic sport relative to other American team sports, because the timing of the virus and at least the hope in terms of how it's going to get worse before it gets better, but the horizons mm-hmm. for how long that'll take mm-hmm. don't really seem to eventually have the same kind of impact on that business that it's having on all these other sports.
Because what they're doing with these cancellations is eliminating mass gatherings of people. The idea is social distancing, right? That's what we're being told. Interact as little as possible. So obviously you're not going to put 600,000 people on the Las Vegas Strip all together to watch the draft, unless something gets drastically better in a very short period of time, which it doesn't seem like it probably will. So yes, the NFL at this point doesn't project to miss games. There are issues, you know, do they start free agency on time? They could, because that doesn't, it require personal interaction. Do they start practices on time? Teams with new head coaches can start their off-season programs on April 6th. I mean, a little more than 3 weeks from now. So how do they manage that in terms of travel and getting everybody there? Those kinds of logistical things, but you're absolutely right. At this point, the draft would be a tough thing to lose, but if they can get by without losing any games, that would be to their advantage.
Absolutely, which is where I was going. As long as they don't lose any games, that's the biggest thing. Even though ideally you would prefer not to lose out on a draft, but getting back to the negotiations, because I'm not going away from the coronavirus. I'm taking that into consideration to make sure that the players understand the level of urgency. So if you do turn this deal down, you know exactly what you're faced against. What is the reason? What is their problem with the offer that the NFL has made? And is it worth it to them to make such a ruckus of it that they end up walking away from this deal? What exactly is their issue?
Fundamentally, they don't want to play a 17th regular season game. They don't want to expand the season. And they feel like those who are opposed to the deal feel like the deal does not give them enough in return to justify agreeing to do this thing that they don't want to do. That would be more difficult on their bodies, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of 16 games already being a long enough season that takes a toll. So that's been the issue. Can we get more? There's a year left on this deal. If we reject it, would the owners want to get their TV deals done? Mm-hmm. They're desperate. Do they come back to us with further concessions? There are people opposed to the deal who think that's the case.
Automax, because from what my sources tell me, obviously at 48.5%, which is what they would get if they agreed to a 17th game, which would be an additional $5 billion in revenue. The flip side to it is that the players, from what I'm hearing, they never wanted DeMaurus Smith to go there with a 17th game. That was never what they mandated that he approach the owners with. So he elected to do that on his own without the complete support of the executive committee. Their mentality now, from what I'm hearing, is if we're going to do this, it don't need to be 48.5%. It needs to be a 50-50 split. Again, I'm only bringing this up for folks out there to understand that when we talk about the coronavirus and the potential impact or the likely impact it's expected to have on the economics of football and the economics of these other sports, I think the NFL players must take this into consideration before they make a decision.
The part of that conversation that I think is important to point out here, though, and Stephen A. talking about what his sources are telling him about DeMaurus Smith, the head of the NFL Players Association, is let's remember, whatever issues they have with DeMaurus Smith right now, he's the same person that, at least in the minds of some, got his butt kicked in the last collective bargaining agreement that was negotiated, and despite that, was still unanimously reelected all the way back in 2017 by some version of their executive council. It was a 14-0 vote that unanimously reelected somebody into this position. So whatever problems they have with DeMaurus Smith, maybe they should have seen coming. In the meantime, I want to get some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, about how all of the coronavirus things are impacting the NFL, specifically with scouts. I think this is interesting. People haven't talked enough about the fact that scouts right now are not being sent to different pro days. They're not going to have the opportunity to see some of these people in person. So we'll head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where ESPN NFL analyst Field Yates joins us. Field, thanks for some time. How does it affect a scout not being able to see a player in person?
You know something, Fitz? Most of the scouts that have done their diligence have seen all the players they need to see in their area. But there are some coaches that are playing catch up, and there are some GMs that have not had the chance to see all of the 1,000 plus players that are going to be evaluated to be drafted come April 23rd, if the draft does hold as currently planned. So how does this affect the prospects? Well, I think that coaches are going to have to trust the tape a little bit more, which might not be a bad thing. And then, you know, some of the guys that are sort of on the edges of being a draftable prospect might have a little bit less exposure. So I don't think this impacts the players like Joe Burrow or any of the top wide receiver prospects in this year's class. But some of the guys that were vying for being a day three selection may not have the opportunity to showcase themselves in a private session with a scout or coach that could have really put them on somebody's radar.
Field, you talk a little bit about those private sessions. We always see these quarterback sessions that get televised, and all of a sudden we become sort of infatuated with different quarterbacks that nail it. Can some of those types of things still be accomplished on, say, a FaceTime session as opposed to an in-person meeting?
I don't think a lot of it will be. I mean, certainly you can get a little bit of a feel for what kind of person somebody is through FaceTime fits, but I think really what happens on some of those private workouts is a coach says, wow, there's more to this player than we maybe were able to gather from the film. Or if you're looking at a potential position switch, think back to someone like Julian Edelman, who was a college quarterback at Kent State. The Patriots had the foresight to go work him out as a punt returner and a wide receiver. Next thing you know, he's become one of the best players in football, a Super Bowl MVP, and a rock for them for over a decade. So I'm not saying that instances like that are eliminated, but I think the opportunity for them is decreased a little bit just because you don't have that extra exposure that could sort of open your eyes to that possibility.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Field Yates on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. So, Field, the one prospect that I keep thinking about is Tua Tagovailoa. How does a limitation on travel and moving everybody sort of impact the fact that teams want their doctors to analyze everything about Tua?
Yeah, well, here's the reality. Right now, Fitz, and those are the two most important sports words in sports right now, is right now. As things presently stand, Alabama has instructed all NFL personnel that it is not permitted on campus until March 30th, which I believe coincides with when the SEC has put a halt on all of its sporting events, at least. But they have pushed back their pro day to April 9th, which was originally scheduled for March 24th. And that's the day that Tua was supposed to work out. So I do think Tua will get a look. I think ultimately, Fitz, that some team that's in a position to draft him or wants to be will find a way to get the requisite info on Tua, whether that's by consulting doctors that have visited with him already or people that will be close to him over the next 6 weeks.
If doctors aren't able to look at him the way they want, do you think it affects his draft status?
I don't think so in this regard. It only takes one, right? And as we know, last year, Daniel Jones may not have been the sixth pick in the draft if there was somebody else picking sixth. But because the Giants were enamored by Daniel Jones, he went sixth, right? So if there's a team that's already fully convinced on Tua or is getting to that point quickly, then I think that Tua, I can't imagine him sliding that far. It's just too tantalizing with a quarterback, especially one with his natural abilities.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Field Yates. Field, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
All righty.
Field making a great point there that I think is interesting, and I hadn't heard elsewhere, that Alabama is not allowing NFL teams onto their campus before March 30th. So if you're an NFL team and you want the chance to go take a look at Tua Tagovailoa, not going to get to do that. You're not going to get to look at any of those prospects on campus. That's a very, very important piece of Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. I'm with Field. Look, we all believe that they're going to find some way to get this done because it's what makes sense. But if I'd have told you 72 hours ago that we'd be looking at mass cancellations across the landscape of sports, you would have laughed at me at the time. So I'm not sure what the ramifications will be to the draft. The one thing I have to continue to stress, though, is the draft. As much as we've fallen in love with the TV product and as much as we all remember what it was like to party in Nashville last year, is at its core a business process. So the business process of the draft, I fully expect to continue. The question is, how will it continue? What will it look like? And what effect will it have on some of these prospects that may not get into the room with the coach to break down a player, may not get in front of the right people to sort of state their case for who they are, or in Tua Tagovailoa's case, may have to go in and prove something medically to a lot of people? That's going to be the most interesting story that I think we're going to still see evolving over the next couple of weeks in the NFL. Speaking of evolving stories, March Madness continues to change in front of our eyes. Jay Williams joined First Take to discuss the magnitude of the cancellation of March Madness. You'll hear what Jay Will, one of the best college basketball players of all time, had to say about it on First Take. But first, it's time for some Straight Talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? Full defensive coverage with zero holes. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk. It runs on America's best network, same as big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. That's right. There's no contract. There's full court coverage, and it's half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Jay Williams only knows how to give the Straight Talk. You'll hear what he said about the cancellation of March Madness on First Take next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
Last week belonged to the coronavirus, but this week is for the NFL. The latest on the CBA, the start of the league year, and of course,
where's Tom Brady going?
That and more, Golic and Wingo Monday, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN2. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you guys are new to the show and you're just tuning in on ESPN2 and you're wondering what we usually like to take some of the best moments from First Take, play some of that, and then get your take. Have you guys chime in, I give a little of my take, and we make this truly interactive First Take experience. The sports landscape right now has changed, and so we're not doing as much of that as we try and get everybody caught up on what they need to know. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Protect what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. In the meantime, I want you guys to hear a little bit of what some of the biggest coaches in college basketball thought of the cancellation of their tournament.
extremely disappointed. Extremely disappointed. I think all of us felt we could postpone and even postpone into May or whatever, and then if we needed to cancel, we could cancel then. But if that's what they're doing, then I guess that's what they're doing. This is a sad, sad day.
What I did was I told them, I said, look, this has never happened before. This is unprecedented, and it's awful. It's the worst kind of news that you can get as an athlete about competition. You know, losing, getting beat is one thing, but never getting a chance to compete is something else. It's an unprecedented event, so you have to take unprecedented measures.
This group that I had, and all these kids, I got calls from other coaches where their seniors were bawling in tears, like we don't get the chance to do this. Kids that are leaving programs early, same deal.
That was Mark Few, Gino Auriemma, and John Calipari reacting to the cancellations. And it's funny because we keep talking about the NCAA like they've done the wrong thing the wrong way and faulting their hesitance to cancel. And then you hear about seniors in tears, and it's a reminder that there are a lot of factors to this. Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about the magnitude of the NCAA's decision.
Hey, Jay, what do you think about this idea? I forgot who it was alluding to this, but how about extending the eligibility or acting as if, excuse me, this year did not happen and simply allowing these same players that participated this year to come back next year? Okay, we can't revisit the season. If you went 29-4 or whatever Dayton's record is at this particular moment in time and you had your best shot in ages to really, really compete for a national championship, no, we can't give that to you. But what we can do is allow you to revisit the season and go back and make another run at it for this upcoming, you know, for next season once players allowed to resume next year, assuming that takes place. What about that as an idea?
Oh, I say that sounds practical, right? That sounds reasonable, correct? Would you agree on that?
Yeah.
All right. So, this is one of the first reasonable and practical things I've seen the NCAA do in a while, guys, on a national tilt, right? On a national scale. Like, so I know they're trying to move in the right direction. I think they were a little bit lagging behind, obviously, when the NBA set that right precedent moving forward. But you're exactly right, Stephen A. Allow another year of eligibility. Like, that's simplistic. That makes the most sense. My question is, how many times are we going to see the NCAA do things that make sense? This is the first step I've seen them doing things that make sense. I hope that they can follow up on that once they have time to regather and communicate these things properly, because that makes sense and that's what they should do.
Would scholarships be an issue in that case?
There's enough money to go around here. There's enough money to go around. So even if you do have to elongate the scholarship for another year, I mean, look, I don't have all the answers, guys. I'm not sitting here saying I have all the answers, but I'm sure, you know, there's going to be somewhat of a stoppage of recruiting. So coaches will not be able to recruit at the same rate that they would. They're canceling AAU basketball. We're hearing this have a major effects on the grassroots of sports in general. So if you can't recruit, if you can't bring another scholarship, maybe you're postponing that. Maybe you can add additional scholarships. There has to be some middle ground here that we can find in NCAA come to the table with.
In this case, it really is about the student athlete. They love to pay lip service to it, but not from the fans' point of view or the school's bottom line or the organization's bottom line, but for the student athlete, the vast majority of these kids, this is it for their basketball career, right? Like, they've worked their entire lives for this. They're not going to go to the NBA, a lot of these guys. They're not going to Europe to play or something like that. This is it for their basketball career, and they're some of the best athletes on earth still, even if they don't get to that NBA level. And so what you're really talking about, we're talking about here, is the student athlete finally, right? They're finally, hopefully, will be actually accommodated in this case, and some allowance will be made so that their dream is not taken from them. And we're not talking about millions of people. We're talking about hundreds or maybe, you know, hundreds of people that could probably be accommodated in this case. Do you think the schools and the NCAA will do that?
I pray so, Max. I mean, we are in uncharted territory. All this is so unprecedented. You know, I live here in Brooklyn, and I'm Skyping with you guys now because my daughter has somewhat of an immune suppressant issue. You know, that's very big on our family and how we're dealing with that with her. But we're in uncharted territories, even at work, guys, at work. So I think that, you know, it's one thing to say what they need to do. It's another thing to try to really insert all the moving parts that come along with it. We're trying to navigate this on the fly. Now, Max, I agree. That sounds like the right thing to do, and it should be the right thing to do. But the question is, how do we put together all the pieces to make sure that we execute on that properly? Because we don't know when we're going to come out of the other end of this right now. We're still in the thick of it.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. I'm Jason Fitz. Tune in today. There's a First Take special this afternoon with Stephen A. and Max. They're going to be joined by great guests like Jay Williams, who we just heard from. And look, I'm having some big argument, let's say, on Twitter with some people about the fact that I agree with Jay Will. There's no question to me. You should let every player come back. Every senior should have the ability to come back. And some of you have come back and said, why would you possibly do that? There's a limited number of seniors affected. If I got to do the right thing for a limited number of seniors affected, and as a result, it gives everybody else an added bonus, who cares? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of things, we're arguing about eligibility for senior basketball players in college basketball when there are, I don't know, lives at stake through all of this. So step number one, it's sports. Relax. Step number two, if doing the right thing by this small number requires giving everybody an extra benefit, find me the negative. Find me the negative. Make a one-year exception. There's got to be a smart way to do it. People are going to come in and say, it's not that simple. Cool. I'm not asking for it to be simple. I'm asking for the best minds, which are supposed to be the people that run colleges all over the country, to come together and be really smart as a group. And if a bunch of really smart people as a group sit down and say why and how instead of why not, if a really smart group of people come together and say, how can we make this happen instead of saying we can't make this happen, what do you want to bet? They can come up with some sort of solution that gives eligibility back to kids that have it taken from them. You have to understand at some level, these kids went to college to play basketball. And now in their senior year, many of them have had it taken away. I'm sorry if it makes me soft to some of you. I really don't care. Ultimately, what I care about is do the best thing you can for everybody in this situation. And if that means giving eligibility back so that their chance to play college basketball isn't taken away, if you want to find a negative on that, kiss my butt. All right, it's that simple. Twitter's got me fired up on this. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. And there's got to be some way to make it happen. All NCAA recruiting, by the way, has been suspended on and off campus until April 15th. All NCAA recruiting suspended on and off campus until April 15th. I want to remind everybody, too. Field Yates said this earlier. This is smart stuff you need to know if you're an NFL fan. Alabama's not letting any NFL team step on their campus until the end of the month at least. So if you want to take a look at an Alabama player, you can't do it. It's a reminder that there are ramifications to the schools. And what we've seen from schools, Kansas and Duke did it yesterday, is they're going to put their kids first. If you're going to put your kids first by saying, even if there's an NCAA tournament, we won't play in it yesterday, then today, put your kids first again. Find a way to get them the eligibility so they can keep playing if that's what they choose to do with their life moving forward. We're going to get more of your take coming up. What's the one thing you're watching to sort of escape from all this? You get to rewatch a game from your past. What's it going to be? You've got some interesting answers on the Shell Penzo performance line. We'll take more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll also read some more of the tweets at Jason Fitz. Plus, Rudy Gobert apologized. Stephen A. and Max broke it down. You'll hear it next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio.
Listen, sports is all Golic knows. And with no sports, we can only imagine what he's getting into this weekend.
Just got some water skis on Amazon Prime.
Oh, it beer me strength. More on that Monday. Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. The big news of the day continues to be the coronavirus and what effect it's had on the sports world. Part of that comes back to the Masters, as ESPN golf reporter Michael Collins joined First Take earlier today to talk about the Masters and the postponement that's happened.
What kind of impact did you get from the players, knowing you've spoken to a few of them? What were the kind of things that they're telling you? What was their mentality like right now?
Steven, I've been up at the clubhouse pretty much all morning talking to guys as they're packing out their lockers to go home and go wherever they live now, because they're going to be home for a little while. And the underlying tone from almost every guy coming out of that clubhouse leaving was surreal. it just doesn't seem real that we aren't going to be playing golf and that we aren't going to be playing the Masters as scheduled in April. Mm-hmm. Guys just are shaking their heads. One of my friends, Jason Kokrak, said he had been trying for 9 straight years to qualify for the Masters, and this was the first one he finally qualified for, and now they're not playing it.
I'm going to think a little positive in terms of eventually the games are going to return and we'll be back seeing folks perform and what have you. How do you believe this will affect their game, their performance, if at all?
Well, this is the toughest thing for most of the golfers out there. Some of the guys now who were trending in the right direction, like Jason Kokrak, whose game was coming around, like Justin Thomas, who had played horrible before, but was starting to trend in the right direction. You look at someone like Rory McIlroy, who hadn't had anything but top five finishes. What do these guys do? And the problem for a golfer now is we know they're going to be off for at the minimum 4 weeks, but what next? Do they start practicing the week of the Masters, gearing up like Hilton Head's going to happen because that's the tournament after the Masters? And even though the tour says, well, we're moving forward like that tournament's going to happen, realistically, it's probably not going to happen. So for golfers, the hard thing is, when do you start gearing up and preparing for a tournament if you don't know when the next tournament's going to be?
You don't know when the next tournament's going to be is sort of the overall concept of what we're all dealing with right now as you try and figure out how the sports world will react to this. I've been asking for a little distraction. What are you going to rewatch? You don't have many live sports. You have UFC tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. Check it out on ESPN. But you don't have a lot of live sports out there to rewatch. Victoria in San Diego, what's your take? What are you going to go back and rewatch for some escapism?
Sorry. I'm going to be watching Super Bowl 43.
All right. Why are you going that way?
Because the last time I saw it, I was 12 years old. That is the first Super Bowl that I watched my team win, the Steelers. So I want to go back and watch it again and see the bus play and, you know, just enjoy that game again.
You know, I don't fault any of that. It just makes me really jealous as a fan in general to know you just go back and say, which Super Bowl are we going to watch? Just, as a lifelong Raiders fan, I guess I could go back to that Super Bowl from when I was 6. All right, so Thomas from Connecticut, you've got one thing you're going to go rewatch for some escapism. What's it going to be?
Kobe's career in general, but I definitely want to see the series against the Trailblazers with him and Shaq.
Oh, that's a good call. I mean, why that right. one particular series?
I think that's where we saw what Kobe and Shaq could really be. I think that's where they came into their own. And we saw how dominant they could have been if they stood together, if they kept that chemistry going. It just brings back good memories.
Oh, man. I just want to sing What Might Have Been every time you talk about that because, God, it looked like it could have been spectacular. On Twitter, by the way, I did say earlier, and I want to address this because I said earlier I feel like the NCAA should find a way to give seniors their senior an extra year of eligibility back. And I've had some tweets on this, and I want to address it as you guys give your take on it. Jonathan said, if you want to do an extra year, that's fine, but realize it's not just men's basketball affected. It's women, it's baseball, it's hockey, all the spring sports. Yeah, perfect. Give an extra year of eligibility all the way across the board. And maybe the most common question I'm being asked right now is, what about scholarship limitations? All right, fix it. Fix it for right now. And then what about underclassmen who were going to have the opportunity to start? And apparently, I know that was something that Mike Golic Jr. brought up this morning on Golic and Wingo. I would say, look, if this means we got to give everybody, if you're telling me that the only way we do this is we expand scholarships to the point that, my God, everybody gets an extra one, I don't care. If that's what it takes to do right by the seniors that have lost this opportunity, I'm all in it. By the juniors that have lost this opportunity, I'm all in it. By the sophomores that might go into practice next year, blow out their knee, God forbid, and not have the opportunity to play, I'm all in for it. Whatever it takes to give amateurism the opportunity to go out and have the moment that they've worked so hard for, I will give all day long. And if to benefit 1, 2, 10, 300 of those players, I got to benefit 10,000 of those players across the board, it is worth it to me. Why? It's simple, y'all. It's the right thing to do. Like, at some point, you have to look at what's right and what's wrong, not from a fan standpoint, from just a life standpoint. And I get it. Look, I know I'm in my early 40s. You don't think I know life's not fair? God, we've all figured it out. But does that mean we have to kick that narrative down the throats of every athlete because of what you want for your fandom? No. Look, this might not be an easy solution for the NCAA. I'm not going to pretend it is an easy solution. I'm going to pretend this, that the NCAA, for once, can come together as a group of the smartest minds that we possibly have and sit down and say, how can we reasonably solve this so that the kids aren't affected? Because ultimately, even if the world's not always fair, and even if the right thing doesn't always happen, what's it matter if for once we focus on that instead of anything revolving around our fandom? What's it matter if for once we try and bring joy instead of trying to figure out what's easiest for us as fans? And what's it matter if it benefits some in a tragic time? Tune in today. First time special this afternoon. Stephen A. Smith and Max are joined by guests throughout the hour. That's going to be on ESPN from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. You do not want to miss it. They'll keep breaking down everything you need to know as we'll keep giving you the best coverage we can. I know that's going to continue next up with the Will Cain Show. This has been First Take Your Take. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great weekend, everybody.